May we completely realize our true awakened nature.
Thank you. So I think everyone has more or less met each other, so we'll save introductions for at the end. If you haven't, if you see someone you haven't met, please say hello before you leave today. So thank you for being here on a Sunday morning. It's beautiful outside and we've all chosen to be inside for this hour and a half. So thanks for that. My topic today comes from a collection of koans called The Secrets of the Blue Cliff Record. And this is a collection that we use in our school as a curriculum for study. And it comes after the Mumon Koan in our curriculum. And this particular collection is very well known. It's really profound and beautiful, and it comes from the 10th to 12th century, and it's a compilation of stories put together by this guy named Secho. But the commentary that it comes with is by later teachers, 17th and 18th century teachers named Hakuin and Tenkai. So what this means essentially is this is 800 years of teaching all come together. And this is going back 300 years. And the fact that I was looking for a koan to help me speak about my topic this morning, and I knew the koan because I remembered it. It stuck with me that much from several years ago that I studied this koan. So the fact that it's so relevant today, I think, is really special. So I just want to jump right into the koan, and they always come with an introduction and the actual case, and then a verse. So I'll read all three of those to begin. The title of this koan is Gobblers of Dregs. This is the introduction. And in the introduction, there's a lot of the pronoun he being used because it's referencing the teacher in this koan. For our purposes here this morning, I'm going to change the pronoun to she. The great capacity of Buddhas and Zen masters is entirely under her control. The lifeline of humanity and divinity is totally subject to her direction. With a casual statement, even a single word, she startles the crowd and stirs the masses. With a single device, even a single object, she smashes chains and knocks off fetters. Meeting transcendental potential, she brings up transcendental matters. Now tell me, who has ever been like this? It ends with a question. And I'll come back and talk about all of these things, but this is now the koan. Obaku said to a crowd, "You are all gobblers of dregs. If you go on like this, where will you have today? Do you know that there are no Zen teachers in all of China?" Then a monk came forward and said, "Then what about those who order followers and lead communities all over the place?" Obaku said, "I don't say there's no Zen, just that there are no teachers." And the verse, cold, severe, his solitary demeanor does not take pride in itself. Solemnly dwelling in the sea of the world, he distinguishes dragons and snakes. Even the emperor of China was treated lightly. Thrice he personally ran afoul of those claws and fangs. So I'd like to go back at this point and just speak a little bit more about the intro, and in particular, my favorite line of the intro, which is, with a casual statement, even a single word, she startles the crowd and stirs the masses. With a single device, even a single object, she smashes chains and knocks off fetters. This is the role of a teacher, smashing chains and knocks off fetters, the chains and fetters that we think are binding us, that we feel like are binding us. And the role of the teacher is to release these. It's heavy role, to put it lightly. But that spoke to me. That particular phrase really spoke to me when I read this introduction. And then the koan. So this statement that opens the koan, obaku, is a teacher speaking to a crowd. We don't know how many people, his students. You are all gobblers of dregs. What a compassionate insult to say, these are the words coming out of my mouth and they're dregs and you're gobbling them up. Shame on you. But wait, in the commentary you'll see. You are all gobblers of dregs. If you go on like this, where will you have today? Don't you know that in all of Naples there are no Zen teachers? Mm-hmm. I could put it like this. And then a monk comes forward and says, then what about this guy and this guy and that lady and this lady and that guy? And Obaku clarifies. He says, I don't say there's no Zen, just that there are no teachers. My response when I read this line was, oh, thank goodness. What a relief. Okay, and then the verse. Oh, just a little side note about dregs. So, gobblers of dregs. So what came to me when I was thinking about this particular phrase was the tea that we drink at sashin, at the end of our oryoki meal. So how many of you have taken oryoki meals and know that tea? Right. So the way this goes, and this is, it's a beautiful ritual that we do in these long silent retreats. And after every meal, the servers walk around with tea and they pour it into one of your bowls and you're meant to clean. Hopefully you've eaten all the little morsels, but there's inevitably a few little morsels that you didn't get. So with this hot tea, you stir. And you clean the bowl, you pour it into the next bowl, you stir, you clean the bowl, you pour it in the next bowl. And the final bowl, that's your tea that you drink. And you drink whatever's in there. So you're in that moment a gobbler of dregs. And for me, it's pretty gross. And I had a kind woman next to me the last sashin I attended who totally knew I wasn't eating my dregs. And she called me on it. And it was a compassionate teaching. It was a gross teaching, but it was a compassionate teaching. The whole point of oryoki is not to leave anything except a little bit at the end for the hungry ghost. That's a different thing. So this is what came to me when I was thinking of gobblers of dregs. And then the verse cold, severe, his solitary demeanor does not take pride in itself. Solemnly dwelling in the sea of the world, she distinguishes dragons and snakes. Even the Emperor of China was treated lightly. Thrice, he personally ran afoul of those claws and fangs. So these last two lines are a reference to an encounter between Obaku and this teacher and the current emperor, the Emperor of China, while he was teaching, which was common in those days for these well-known teachers to meet the emperor. So apparently this teacher had no hesitation about treating that emperor how he would treat anyone. And apparently there were slaps involved, 3 slaps to be precise. It goes into this in the commentary. But the point of this is this teacher is freely giving teaching in whatever form it comes, apparently in the form of claws and fangs in this circumstance. And the first two lines, cold, severe, his solitary demeanor does not take pride in itself. So to me, this is pointing to two things. One is that it can be a lonely place to be as a teacher. Thankfully for us here, it's not so lonely because we have 2 non-teachers of Zen. which is nice. Yet even with this solitary demeanor, he doesn't take pride in himself. Solemnly dwelling in the sea of the world, he distinguishes dragons and snakes. And as we've talked about here, we named the dragon room, right? And in Zen lore, dragons and snakes are pointing to sentient beings and awakened beings. Ultimately, we realize they're the same. But before we realize that, we distinguish between the two. So this is the koan, and I'll read a little bit of the commentary. So this is Hakuin's and Tenkai's commentary. So this is Tenkai's response to this phrase, gobblers of dregs. Everywhere they say that people who consume writings and sayings are gobblers of dregs. But a Zen master explained that if writings were dregs, then the oak tree in the garden, the 3 pounds of flax, would also be dregs. So it cannot be seen as limited to writings and sayings. So what he's saying here, what he's pointing to, I think, is that everything could be considered viewed as dregs. Every moment that awakens you to something could be viewed of as a dreg. So maybe a dreg isn't necessarily a horrible thing. So it cannot be seen as limited to writings and sayings. From the perspective of the Zen eye, even practice is gobbling dregs. Even travel for study is gobbling dregs. Even talk about doing meditation or reading scripture is all involvement in writings and sayings. Therefore, even to speak of enlightenment and delusion, views of Buddha or views of Dharma is all gobbling dregs. They're delicious. Where will you have today? Where do you think you'll find this place? And today is with a capital T. What is a teacher in the... I love this line by Tenkai. What is a teacher in the context of Zen? Is there such a thing? Is there not? Look in your nostrils, he says. Not my nostrils. I wouldn't recommend that. Look in your nostrils, he says. And then one other little piece that I thought was wonderful. Today, Obaku activates the natural teacherless way. The natural teacherless way. The dragons and snakes of the entire universe, the whole earth, and the four seas determine the falsehood or authenticity of the teaching masters. False teaching means false paths among the ranks of the Buddhists and Zenists, those that seek outside the mind. I think that's an important phrase. Those that seek outside of mind, he's saying, these are the false ones. Authentic teaching refers to those who have relinquished everything, even the mysterious and profound principles of Buddhism. Gain and loss, right and wrong. It is necessary to have the Zen eye like this. So even this, we have to realize this is dregs. So I'll explain now why I chose this koan of all koans today. So Sensei Al was here in September to celebrate our second anniversary with us a few months ago. And he sat me down at one point and told me that he planned on giving me Dharma transmission in the next year. So this is quite a big thing. And my immediate response was I felt like I was going to vomit. I felt sick to my stomach. And I really just needed some time to absorb this information and be okay with it. For myself, Andy totally knew something was up, and I told him a few days later. But this is something that I knew was coming. I didn't know that it would be coming quite so quickly, and it's not really up to me when it's coming. This is Al's decision. So I'll share what Melissa Blacker said to me. Melissa Blacker is another one of my teachers, Jeannie's close friend and teacher as well. And when I told her about this, her response was, "Congratulations and I'm sorry." So very often in Zen literature, you'll see an expression, something like the iron cloak of Zen or the iron yoke of Zen. And this is meant to be a very poetic and very difficult way of explaining what it is to be a Zen teacher. And this is a collar or an iron cloak that you put on. Once it's on, it's not coming off. It's on, right? For the rest of your life. So I'm going to be wearing this in the next year or so. So I want to say a little bit about what this means, I think, for our group, what it means for me personally. And I'll preface all of this by saying I really don't know because I've never gone through this before. But I know what Sensei Al, I saw him go through this process. So I met him in 2003. He didn't have Dharma transmission at that point. He had started this center and was continuing studying with his teacher. And in 2010, he got Dharma transmission from his teacher, this guy in Philadelphia named Jules Harris Schusen. So at that time, I had already actually moved here and had kind of lost, I wouldn't say lost contact with Al, but I was sitting with FCM, with this other group in town, and having a go at that. And then somehow reconnected with Al, at which time he told me he just received Dharma transmission. I didn't know it was a thing until he told me he just received Dharma transmission. Then all of a sudden, this became something really interesting about this teacher I had already known. So there were other elements here, but at that point I reconnected with him and started really studying with him in a deeper way and started calling him Sensei, which was interesting. He'd always been out. And that took a little bit of time to adjust to this. So I will be Sensei when this happens, unless we're in Old Dog Tooth or in Karen's backyard or something like that. Sensei means teacher, thanks, right?
Yeah,
in Japanese. So I'll be Sensei. Another thing that will happen is I will shave my head, which is not a requirement in our school, but I've made this decision to do it at least once. So and this, of course, comes with a whole lot of significance for me personally, and also, I think for people that I encounter, if you've ever encountered a teacher with a shaved head, it's a little bit different, right? Another thing that I expect will happen, and again, I don't know how exactly this will look, but I'm prepared for some people to view me a little bit differently. And again, I don't know how that will go. I don't know what that'll mean for our group. But I know that for me, when Al got Dharma transmission, I begin to look at him a little bit differently. So I expect this to happen in some form for me. And then I wanted to share a little bit about how this process has gone for me in the past few months since he told me this. So when I stopped feeling nauseous, there was this very conscious decision to really look deeply at every aspect of my life and to really examine what I'm doing every day and how I'm doing it and what I'm saying, every little element, because I have this very strong sense that I don't want to be engaged in any activity that I wouldn't share with the group the next day. So one thing that I respect about teachers that I adore is their complete transparency, their nakedness, their willingness to show everything. And I want to be able to do that without holding anything back. So that's my intention. And one thing that I was considering about this just yesterday, actually, is despite all the little ways of resisting what's happening, at no point did I consider saying, no, thanks, I can't, I don't want to. this didn't cross my mind. And I think for me, it comes from a couple of different places. One is just love of the teachings. I love this Dharma. I feel like on countless occasions, it saved me in many different ways. I found myself deep in the weeds, and this is the only thing that got me out of it. And still, I find myself lost in the weeds on occasion. And it's amazing now, even though I find myself lost in the weeds, I always know, oh, there it is. There's that Dogen I need to read. Or there's that hour of meditation I need to do with the group. Or there's that phone call to Andy, or whatever it is. That's what it is. And without that, I hate to think, I don't know if I would be living under a bridge. I don't know, but it wouldn't be good. So I just have this deep love for what's happening here. And you are all such a huge part of this. So thank you for being a part of this. So there's a ceremony just a little bit, and I'll leave a few minutes for questions. There's a ceremony involved that will happen here. We talked about, I talked with Sensei about possibly doing it at a retreat in Kashi in April, but we really want to do it here, and we're trying to figure out when we can get the most people. So the summer months are out. So we were considering April or October. We're leaning now towards October. So we'll get a sense, maybe now's not the time to do this, but maybe we'll take a vote. I might do this in an email and just say who's going to be here in October, who's going to be here in April. So we'll get a sense of that. And the way this traditionally goes, this ceremony, is the group is in retreat, in silent retreat. And here, we're limited what we can do, so it'll be a weekend retreat in silence. And while the group is meditating, it's a private ceremony in which myself and Sensei Al and Andy's going to be Al's attendant, and I'm having a really hard time choosing my attendant. So there will be four of us going out, and we have to figure out a place to do this private ceremony, after which we come back in and there's a public part of this as well. So that's how that goes. And again, we'll get a consensus from the group so we can get as many people here for that as we can. And I'm sure a party will follow. So thank you. I'm humbled and terrified, and thank you. Questions or thoughts? Toku.
I was just wondering how, you know, how old the tradition of the ceremony goes back? Is it a Japanese Soto thing, or do you know?
I don't. That's a really good question. There are stories of the transmission of a bowl and a robe, right? So there are stories of teachers handing this, but as far as like a ceremony, that I don't know. That's
this
a good
like,
question.
This sounds like it's a Japanese lineage, this one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this, you know, the transmission goes back to when the first transmission was when the Buddha held up the flower, right?
Right.
And he didn't say anything, and the only one that smiled was Mahakasyapa. And that was, you know, he said he understands, right? So that's my understanding. That was the first transmission. So, I mean, this is in some form or another, a transmission from teacher to teacher, you know, that goes back 2,500 years, theoretically.
And it's depicted, if anyone hasn't seen it, we have this lineage chart hanging there. It's depicted in a beautiful way with a bloodline. So the red line is meant to signify a bloodline all the way from the Buddha to us here. So it's neat.
And I'm always reminded of that story of Hui Neng, right, what number was he? He was the sixth patriarch, right? Does everybody know that one? Where he was illiterate, he washed the dishes in the kitchen at the monastery because they wouldn't really let him in. and the abbot was getting older, and he wanted to, you know, name his Dharma successor that would be the head of the monastery. So he wrote this poem up on the wall and said that whoever could answer the poem with another poem or something to that effect would be his successor. And the head monk wrote this, you know, beautiful, beautiful thing. And Hui Nang, you know, who was a really enlightened guy, then got somebody else to write another one, right? And the abbot came out and saw what Hui Nang had somebody write for him and called him into his room, like, in the middle of the night, right? And maybe this is where this private ceremony comes from. And gave him, you know, the Buddha's bowl, his begging bowl that had been handed down to him, and this robe, and said, you know, here, I'm transmitting it to you, now run for your life, because the other monks are going to kill you. And there's a whole lot of teachings related to he had to get out of there, you know, and run for his life. And one of our koans, actually, I think is in the Mumon Khan, is where one of the monks that had been a general catches up with him. So it's really, I mean, it's a wonderful, wonderful tradition. And I bow to Kido.
But thank you. And the general catches up with him and is giving him a hard time. And Hui Nang says, okay, I'll put the bowl and the robe down here. If you can take it, you can have it. And the story goes, the general tried and he couldn't pick it up. So who knows what came over him that he decided he couldn't. But at that point he said, okay, you're my teacher. And there's something about a teaching that happened in that moment where the general became awakened. I think it was, what was your original faith? Leaving aside evil, thoughts of evil and good, what was your original faith before your parents were born? There are all sorts of stories around this this teacher's transmission. So we'll have our own stories. Anything else? 11:30 on the dot. Thank you. We'll end with the four vows, and then we'll do announcements.
Dedication.
Dedication.
When are we going to start doing the dedication?
That's fine with me. The dedication.
We've never done the dedication. I mean, traditionally it's the dedication, right? That at the end to dedicate the merit.
We'll have to decide, but let's try it.
So this is really a lot slower, right? Maybe people that know it can help us. It goes half.
Yeah, so Andy's the Eno, we follow his pace. Hands together in Gosha. Of wisdom. How's that for a way to end? Thank you. So quick announcements. We have a lot happening. It's really exciting. So quick vote. How many are planning on being here next Sunday? I can be here. So it's Christmas Eve. Okay. We will meet next Sunday morning. Great. And then the following Sunday morning is New Year's Eve, and we'll do our tea ceremony. That's posted on the website and on the bulletin board, a really special event. The following Saturday is our Zazen Kai, in which we'll offer vow renewal. If anyone has taken vows, either with our school or any other school, This is an opportunity to renew those vows in a ceremony. And a lot happening in January. Where's Alvina? Alvina is going to be doing a 3-week self-care series Tuesday evenings in January 16th, 23rd. It's posted. And talk to Alvina about this. I got a little taste of one of the things she's going to be doing. It was really powerful for me. Mm-hmm. So I recommend this very much. And right next to Alvina, Jeannie is going to be doing her book signing the 21st. Also information about that posted. And I recommend check out her book. We have her book over here. So look at that. And she's offering this free class and talk about this on the 21st. Please remember the Donna basket. Thank you.